It's not just music, it's your way of life. How you live, live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
All right, it's time for us to get into our Ask a Pastor season at 23 minutes before 1. We do have Mfundisi Mabenge already standing by to give us our answer for today. And by the way, if you're one of those people who has a complex question, please send it over and I will do my darndest to have our pastor answer the question. I'll try and give all the various facets of what I think you mean with your question. Sometimes it's difficult, like today's question. Today's question is slightly difficult for me to compute and decode and deconstruct, for me to be able to ask the questions that I need to ask, but I will do my best nonetheless. Mfundisi Mabenge, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Thank you, Naya, and good morning and good day to the listeners.
I don't know how
Thank you,
Mfundisi. I don't know how you understood this question, but I'm going to read it to you anyway. I'd like to hear how you are interpreting it. This person says, is it appropriate for churches to engage in business ventures like coffee shops or gyms? Now, in terms of business ventures and whether it's proper or improper, I would have imagined perhaps there would be liquor stores and, you know, hotels, businesses like those that have some questionable entities around them. But these businesses appear to be on the straight and narrow. What did you make of this question? Before you get into answering it, how did you read the question?
Well, I understood the question, Naya, to be saying that our investment portfolio as a church, should it be dependent on tithes, or can we venture into some form of business so that we can build the much needed resources for the church?
Okay. All right. Go ahead. Yeah. Give us an answer. Go ahead, Mfundisi.
All right. I would say yes, but I think that the kind of business should be aligned to what we are projecting as the Adventist movement. I think you've just made an example now of a hotel, or I would put it as B&B. I think at the SAU, we do have
Right.
That is offering those services to the public. But at the end of the day, you know, there's a certain way that you carry out your business. Each business has got its own ethos. And I think it's easy for every Adventist or Christian to actually put certain markers in their business to make sure that it doesn't speak against what we stand for. Obviously, the church does not want to deal with alcohol and tobacco.
Right.
There's also certain other issues that might also be contravening what we stand for. So what's important is that we make sure we get into a form of business that is not going to infringe on that.
Right.
But equally, I need to mention the fact that the church always advises that conferences and churches should not venture into kind of investments that are risky with the tithe money, but rather go into mainstream investments with banks and so forth, so that there's no infighting or losses that can be incurred by the church trying to get into the risk of running business.
Right.
Yes.
So with the
Let me stop there. Yes, sir.
With the person who has sent this question, what do you imagine they are uncertain about in terms of coffee shops? I mean, is it the caffeine aspect and gyms? I mean, gyms, I would imagine that's one of the best businesses to get into. So what do you imagine this person is worried about in terms of gyms and coffee shops? Why mention those particularly?
I think with the coffee shop, it will be the issues of caffeine, as you're saying, and its relevance to our health message. Okay. And I think with gyms, it will probably be the issue of dress codes and so forth, and how some people, you know, have different dress etiquette when they're going to gym and so forth. Yeah. Okay.
So here's the thing, and I'm glad that you are the one who raised the issue of the SAU and its B&B, so to speak. I'm curious.
Remember, that's my employer, Naya. Be careful what you ask.
No, don't remember, because I'm the one who's asking, so you're off the hook. so we are talking about how B&Bs and hotels have in contemporary times been used. Back in the day, in Jesus' time, it was Joseph and Mary looking for a place to deliver their baby. They were used for all sorts of things. But now, they are known infamously for people who escape their marriages and go and engage in extramarital activity in those B&Bs. And so B&Bs carry a stigma. And I'm not quite sure if that stigma applies to the one at the SAU. How do we manage? My question is about you saying you must put systems in place and standards and markers. How do you put markers of what happens behind closed doors?
I think you obviously cannot, but I think in most hotels now, with the act that came through saying that people may not smoke in certain rooms and unless there's certain devices that are put up and so forth, okay. I think a lot of people manage to bring in a rule that says no smoking at all in their rooms. You get what I'm saying? Mm. And I think that was a way of putting the marker. And then they would have smoke detectors to check if a person is contravening that rule or
right,
not.
Right.
So that is what I was actually referring to. But if obviously you're not able to ascertain certain issues over the usage of something like a room.
Right.
But I think you actually do not do things that will promote such usage, like having condom dispensers and right, all of those
right,
things, you know.
Right, right.
Yeah. But obviously, there will be a few people that will be out of line. But I'd say that in all of the time that these businesses have been run, I think the Helderberg College also has got a B&B.
Right.
You tend to have Adventists coming to use these facilities.
Right.
But I
right.
think equally so, you do have the odd ones that will come through and want to do things that are probably not aligned with what we're teaching.
Right.
But I think where we can control, we do control that it cannot happen. I know in Helderberg College, you can't just go and book in a B&B if you are not married, you know,
yeah.
because when they check the details, that's one of the things they check in that. Why are you booking in one room?
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. So there's issues like those that you can put in place. But I do want to appreciate the fact that that is a difficult exercise. And
right.
Sometimes it can also discriminate according to the organizations that are actually relevant for such business types.
Right, right. So
yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm curious now. I totally understand the principle you're laying out, and I have no qualms with it. I'm curious if we do have a biblical basis to view this answer in a positive or a negative light. Do we have a biblical predicate for the principle you've just laid out right now?
I think Naya, when you are reading into different biblical texts, you
right,
know, you
right.
know that we're supposed to have some kind of work that we do
right,
to sustain ourselves.
Hmm.
But the fact that the institution is supposed to, there you will have difficulty because the funding model for any church, according to the Bible, it's in the giving that is done by its members.
Right.
Therefore, I would say that it would be a very difficult exercise to find that.
Mm.
But I think given the fact that we live in this world that we're living in currently, there's a lot of things that we are actually not prescribed in the Bible, but
right.
we actually do not find any contravention
right.
towards
right.
the teachings that are there. And
right.
that is why we delve into them. So we obviously would not in our investment portfolio want to invest in companies that are selling tobacco or
right,
promoting
right.
alcohol use or drugs.
Right.
But we try to go for things that are safe,
right.
Like things like healthcare and so forth, where we know that relatively there's low risk towards contravening our standards and our beliefs as
right.
Seventh-day Adventists.
Right.
So I would say no, but I would also say that the Bible does give us some kind of indication as to what lines we can go with some relative safety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So the products or services that we invest in Do we really have a guide in scripture, or is it just a matter of preference? I say this because a couple of years ago, we in our country, the Republic of South Africa, marijuana was not acceptable. It was not legal. But we have since legalized marijuana, and during the State of the Nation address, the president did make mention of the fact that we are now going to be using the resources that are grown in the Transkei, the marijuana resources. It's going to be part of the greater economy. Since the government is participating in this, do we have any reasons not to, since it's a legal substance now?
Well, I think, again, it's going to boil back to what is it going to be used for.
Right.
And I think that there's a lot of healthy usages for
marijuana,
including the development of hemp.
Yes.
As a product for clothing and so forth. But the smoking part is the one where we do not come in. And also the usage of marijuana as a drug where people get high, not necessarily to treat any ailments. But I think there's a whole lot of medicinal advantages. Right. I know when we were singing in the choir in primary school, they would actually boil it
right.
and have us take a tot of it so that our voices can be suitable for the singing that we're going to do.
Yes.
And I don't think we fall in the category of people that are trying to use it as a drug or something of that nature.
Right.
So I'm trying to say that being a church, though, it would be more advisable to avoid such things that could leave a mark or dent to your
reputation,
image as a church. I
right.
mean, imagine, you know, you start getting a whole lot of Rastafaris converting
yes.
into Adventism.
yes.
You know, yeah.
Okay.
So we need to check. Not that there's something wrong with the medicinal use and the non-smoking part of the marijuana, but I'm just trying to say that because it will pose a lot of challenges, it will probably be advisable to stay away.
To stay away from it. Now,
yeah.
My final question for this, we have the likes of Paul. We are told, though Paul was trained in law, he was a tent maker as well.
Yes.
And
yes.
assuming those tents he was not using for him to sleep in, he was not donating them. He was selling them to anyone who would buy. The same applies
yes.
with Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus himself. He was a carpenter. So the tables and chairs and whatever it is that he made, he was not only selling it to Christians, which then begs the question, should we really care how people or who is going to use our products and services? If you buy a tent from Paul, the apostle, the great apostle, whether you use it for storing stolen goods, whether you use it for raping people, whether you use it for storing slaves, should we really bother ourselves about how people are going to use our products and services as long as we are selling them with good intention? Jesus was a carpenter. Whether people use their tables and chairs to sell drugs or human trafficking, that's not Jesus's business. So it applies with Paul. So again, the question is, should we bother ourselves about how people are going to use our products and services?
Yes, I think we should. I think even the world expects that standard of everyone that is selling a product. So if you're selling sugary things, you're supposed to actually warn people and show the breakdown and show how this could be disadvantageous to
right,
their health.
Right, right.
I think also I saw the Facebook owners being called to Congress so that
right.
they can explain about the influence of the social media to the
elections.
Yeah. So I'm trying to say that everyone that is selling anything should do so responsibly and should make sure that they are concerned
right.
about the end user and how they use the product.
Mm.
And because of that, I think pharmacists as well, even though the medicines have been tested and they are safe, yet they regulate what the quantities are that we're supposed to get and how we should use it so that we can use it safely. Therefore, I think it should be a general concern for anything that we do. We make sure that we concern ourselves with the end user and how they are going to receive the product.
Right.
I think even with our messages as a church, We go out there and we sell them, and some people take them and become extremists.
Right.
Therefore, it's our responsibility to make sure that what we're giving out does not give, does not harm the general person, so that they can go to a direction they were not intended to go to.
So the church can, with those stipulations and regulations, the church can invest in a farm where they are farming weed.
Well, yes, I should think so. But as I'm saying to you, it should be something that's avoided, because there's so much that needs to be controlled to actually make sure that it is used safely.
Okay. All right.
And please be careful with what you're asking me, Naya.
I'm done.
But I'm not scared of that one, Naya. And I must say that a lot of our churches have invested in farming and so forth. I know in Bethel it used to boom, and they used to do end products as well, like Vaseline, cheese, milk, all of those things, you know. So I'm saying that, yes, there are safe ways of actually venturing into investments, not only for the making of the money for the gospel, but also in teaching people skills, so that you build your tight base and empower the people to be able to have remuneration.
Indeed, subsistence farming. Indeed, I got it. Thank you very much, Mfundisi Pastor Clinton Mabenge. Have a wonderful day further, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
See you tomorrow.
Thank you to you, Naya. Thank you.
Goes Mfundisi.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.